much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
This is Skeeter Walk broadcasting live from the So-So Deaf Beach Party. One time for your mind and don't stop. I'm going to tell you like this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
My great uncle discovered Pluto, and I know that sounds like a joke when it comes out, but it's true. You know,
Clyde Tombaugh.
Clyde Tombaugh, great uncle, discovered Pluto, and they took it away from us. So it's a dwarf planet now.
Yeah, I was against that also. I believe that when you learn certain things in school and you retain very little of it, but right. One of the most important things is you know which planets are planets.
Yes.
And then somebody comes and says, no, it's not a planet anymore.
Yeah, what scientists just decide they just get in the room one day and say, you know what, we're out. We're Pluto. I mean, how do you do that?
Your family must have been, they must have been furious, right?
For sure. Up in arms. Yeah.
And now.
Wake up, it's Smoke Sausage O'Clock.
Our feature presentation.
I believe pretty much all scientists came to that conclusion. Pluto, not a planet.
That was Dodger great Clayton Kershaw on the Jimmy Kimmel Show last week, by the way, talking about his great uncle Clyde Tombaugh. And it's amusing to me how many dozens and dozens and dozens of Kevin Bean listeners felt the need to tell me that Clyde Tombaugh was related to Clayton Kershaw. Like, who's more obsessed with Pluto than I am?
Right, but they just wanted to make sure you saw that.
Right, but how would I not know that?
that's such a good point.
I mean, they don't know you like we do.
I see.
They think we exaggerate stuff and all that. They don't know that you're the real deal. You're crazy.
It was very exciting to see Clayton on the TV show talking about that, by the way.
Yeah.
And Dave, you got to see the Dodgers this weekend, right?
I did yesterday. Yeah. Complete the sweep of the Cubs. Yeah, it was awesome.
Kevin, you go? Do you check taking some baseball where you're in
Yeah,
Chicago?
Go Dodgers. Beat the Cabs.
I kept trying to get Kevin there all weekend, and he just hates Wrigley Field.
Well, no, here's...
He hates everybody.
Here was my
beautiful park.
Yeah, I know.
Here was my qualifying question. Is it baseball? I'm out.
But Kevin, the Dodgers won with just two hits.
Oh, what a boring game that must have been.
Hanley Ramirez ran into a wall full speed.
That's good. If that happened more often, I would like it.
No, but it was.
If they all juiced instead of just A-Rod, I would like it. I think that would bring some excitement to the sport.
So, have you guys just moved to Chicago? This is it. This is the new full-time arrangement.
No, I can't live here. I gotta go.
Why? What's going on? It seems like a great city.
It's a great city, but that's the problem. It's a great city.
It's killing.
And it's open way later than LA is.
Right.
I've gotten used to the fact that LA pretty much every restaurant. Every bar, every hotel, like 5:36, they're closing down. Here, they don't go out till 10. And there's a lot of places that are open, and they serve booze.
And here's the big thing about Kevin when he's in another city is that if something is open, he has to be at it. It's not like he can still go to bed at 10.
Correct.
If other people are going out and things are open till 3, well, he has to be part of that.
I get a text from Dave, when are we meeting up? And I may not have felt like it until I got that text, and then it's like, all right, I'm in. Let's go.
Well, I'm just amazed to find both of you at the radio station this morning.
Come on. We've been here for 15 minutes. What a waste of the time.
You sound relatively good.
You do. Compared to the texts and tweets I saw this weekend, you sound terrific.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks to all my friends for tweeting my texts. That's nice.
Well, we'll talk about what's coming up on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show here in a minute. But first, though, today is a big day in the world of science. They are unveiling in London right now the world's first laboratory-grown hamburger. Now, a lot of people think this is the future.
Wait a minute. So it's not beef?
It's not cloned beef? It is cloned. They took cells from a cow in the Netherlands, and they turned them into a hamburger patty. And this is the beginning of a technology that they think is eventually going to save the world because it takes so many resources, so much land to raise cattle. I mean, that is part of the problem with how many people are starving right now is you just need so many resources to grow food when you're actually growing animals and slaughtering them. So they think if they could figure out a way to make it in a lab and eventually get it to the point where it's cheap enough to do, they could feed everybody. They could make as much food as they want using virtually, no resources in comparison, which is a pretty cool idea when you think about it.
It probably tastes like ass.
Well, they're not expecting the first one to taste great.
Yeah, I'm not the guy. If somebody said, who wants to taste it first? I'd be, you know what? I'm going to wait for round 3.
Do you? What would your thoughts be if they were to make food in a laboratory and it did taste good and it was a, of comparable price? Would you have any problems with it?
No. As long as it was good, I'd eat it.
Lisa, how about you?
I would have some problems with it.
Because there are some people who are not into what they call the Frankenfoods.
Yeah, because we don't really know what that's going to do to us long term. And there's no way to know that. For years and years and years.
Let me see. The doctor starts with stem cells extracted from cow muscle tissue. In the laboratory, these are cultured with nutrients and growth-promoting chemicals to help them develop and multiply. 3 weeks later, there are more than a million stem cells, which are put into smaller dishes where they coalesce into small strips of muscle about a centimeter long and a few millimeters thick. This is about to sound very sexy, by the way. These strips are collected into small pellets, which are then frozen. When they're enough, they are defrosted and compacted into a patty just before being cooked.
Call me in 10 years. It sounds like it's in its infancy, and I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, it is new, but it is exciting. By the way, this first burger cost $325,000.
Well, what? I just don't know how that's going to feed the world.
The money was
Look, I'd
up.
Like a burger, but I need to sell my house. I'll be right back.
The money was put up. It was just revealed at the press conference with the meat today. It was just revealed that Sergey Brin, who's one of the founders of Google, is the one who funded this project.
Did you say there was a press conference with the meat?
Yes, I sure did. Well, they're unveiling it, and they're going to taste it. I mean, that's going on right now, this moment, in England. So, I don't know. I think it's very exciting. Look, if they can clone a cow and then not have to grow and kill any more cows and still make as much meat, I think that sounds like a win for the world.
But having a hamburger without the slaughter?
Exactly.
That's a joke. That's just a joke. Point. Yeah.
So, anyway. So, good times.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
The jury's out on that one. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Meat Show, shall we?
It brings me agony and sadness and dread.
As does everything else in your life, Nick. Rush Limbaugh, what's up with his ass? And why is he complaining about getting so much hate?
Yeah.
What's up with Florida on today's show? Mm-hmm.
What is up with Florida, by the way?
Hopefully we'll have an answer for that today. You have the same eating schedule every single day. Same restaurant, same food, right? Are we saying same food as well? Because
yeah,
I think we would
so.
Get enough.
I think there are people who literally eat the same item for lunch every day, for instance.
You think that well, yeah, or you have a schedule like Bean does.
Right.
Where on Tuesdays he'll go somewhere and eat something.
That's
and it's
right.
always the same.
That's right. And Thursdays Weird. Is Denny's, and I like to be there at the same time. I like to sit in the same chair. I like to eat the same food. Comfortable with that.
I get eating like the same breakfast at home. Like you pour yourself a bowl of cereal every
yeah,
morning,
it's
whatever.
Easy.
Yeah. But I do not get a schedule. Yeah.
I get very upset if I show
what
up
if
and somebody's
I know
somebody
that.
Sat my seat at the counter.
Yeah.
Oh, if I knew that, I would sit in your seat every day. Shark Week has begun.
Yes. I think it was either last night or tonight. It's Shark Week, definitely.
We're going to talk to Josh Wolf, who's doing a show sort of like Chris Hardwick did with Walking Dead called Talking Dead. This is called Shark After Dark, and they'll kind of recap the shows that we're on.
Oh, cool.
I like it.
So that sounds pretty cool. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have tickets for you to see Kick-Ass, and we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about what's going on in the world of the wonderful, boring world of baseball. So okay. That's coming up today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
And now, a moment with Bean.
It sounds like somebody with sore grapes. Is that what you have, a sore grapes?
Sure have. I've got sore grapes right now.
A lot of people have sour grapes.
That was a moment with Bean.
Good times.
We have fun, Herman.
Hey.
What's going on, dude?
Stuff.
How was your weekend?
Good.
We are you.
Oh, let's not get into that.
Let's not get into that.
Let's
save that for later. Oh.
Kevin's texts and tweets were maybe the greatest I've ever seen.
Nothing's ever been more entertaining than just watching amazing. It come over the ticker. I was just sitting there with those old-fashioned Wall Street ticker tapes, just reading all the information as it came across live.
It doesn't help that everyone that I know has been trained to take all of my text and take a screenshot and put it up on Twitter.
Hey, wasn't it just that? Your tweets, too, man. It was magic.
Oh, no, I know some of them were off, but not as bad as mine.
There's so few actual English words in anything you tweet this weekend. It's just crazy.
Hey, what's going on showbiz, huh?
There were collections of consonants just running without any sort of punctuation, like a madman.
Like, you'd think like, that you would accidentally spell a word, though, at some point. But no.
As if you just
a monkey would.
You handed your smartphone over to a chimpanzee.
Look, here's the thing. I have fat fingers anyway.
But how do you just randomly type 400 consonants in a row?
That I can't explain. But like, when I'm normally tweeting or texting, I take the time to go back and check and go back and check, and I misspell stuff all the time, and I check it and get it right.
I'm not talking about misspellings. I'm talking about hundreds of consonants in a row with no vowels or punctuation.
That was unfortunate.
Nothing that resembles a word in the English language buried within any of it.
Right.
How'd you like to be the person on the other end of that text, Ralph, who's supposed to take that information and do something with it?
Most
like where they're supposed to meet or something.
Most of them speak Kevin.
It's madness.
What's going on in showbiz, huh? How about those movies?
Whatever. Nothing as entertaining as that. There's nothing that I have that is as entertaining as that. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Two Guns. Surprise hit of the weekend. A lot of people thought Smurfs 2, just based upon the smash that the first Smurfs was, would take the weekend. But no, Two Guns came from behind with $27.4 million, making it number one at the box office this weekend. Then The Wolverine, of course, a wildly popular character, came in with $21.7 million. That made it number two. Then the Smurfs showed up in third place in its debut.
How was that, Bean?
Not really Smurftastic.
Not breaking the $20 million mark, surprisingly. Only $18.2 million for those wacky Smurfs. Then The Conjuring, Despicable Me 2, Grown Ups 2, Turbo, Red 2, The Heat, and Pacific Rim, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan's movie The Canyons opened up this weekend as well in theaters, but it was only shown in one theater in New York. Did you know that?
No.
I did not.
The erotic thriller made a bit more than $15,000 this weekend in theaters. However, it is being offered on video on demand and iTunes as well. So if you want to see it, you don't need to go to a theater. You can see it in the privacy of your own home with your pants down around your ankles.
I started watching it in my hotel room and fell asleep.
Well, sure. Look at you.
I mean, she's got great cans, but the movie follows.
Yeah, but look terrible. At you. But look at you.
Hey, come on. That's a valid criticism.
You could have been watching The Hurt Locker in your condition and you would have fallen asleep. It doesn't matter what the movie was. Because you come back, ZLKKKJRKROMMQQQRLTTLPP.
I thought we had moved on from that.
Nope. Fascinating to me. Endlessly fascinating. Who is your next Batman? Who is your next Batman?
Andy Dick.
No.
No?
Here's the thing. There was a lot of rumors going around this week. Last week, everyone was saying it was that kid from Teen Wolf, Hecklin, who was in the running to be the
What about new, Christopher Mintz-Platz?
No, he is not apparently in the running. But the Hollywood Reporter says inside information coming out of Warner Brothers is that Josh Brolin has the inside track to be the new Batman.
He seems a little old.
Well, that's
Batman,
the thing. Warner Brothers wants a Batman that's a bit older, established, and rugged to go up against Henry Cavill's Superman in the upcoming Batman versus Superman movie.
Well, he's a terrific actor.
He is, and he's certainly got the gravitas to pull that off. Ryan Gosling also in the mix, if you want to believe some of the rumors in the trade papers. Other names being thrown around, British actor Richard Armitage, True Blood star Joe Manganiello. I always get his name all honked up. Pacific Rim's Max Martini and Watchmen star Matthew Good also in the talks, so we won't know anything for a while, but everyone is saying, at least for the time being, that Josh Brolin's got the inside track. So we'll have to wait and see. And speaking of casting, a new Doctor Who.
Yes.
Woo! Was revealed over the weekend in a live special coming out of the UK on Sunday morning here.
Woo!
In the States. Very exciting.
Woo!
Peter Capaldi. Peter Capaldi,
Not
everybody.
Peter Capaldi, I was hoping for.
You don't know, man. Peter Capaldi, who just a great, great actor. He's a big TV star in the UK already, but now the rest of the world is going to get to know him. He was one of the stars of The Thick of It, which was the British series about British government that was created by the guy who created Veep for us here in the States.
Oh, okay.
And The Hour, also a popular series in the UK. He's one of the stars of that show. So he has been tapped to be the next Doctor, and his first episode will be on the Legendary Christmas special, where Matt Smith will regenerate into Peter Capaldi.
Matt Moneysmith?
Everyone's very excited. Moneysmith?
I said Rough, Matt Moneysmith.
When a Doctor Who leaves the show, does he get killed? Is that how they usher him out before they bring the new guy in?
For God's sakes, Bean.
I don't know.
Doctor Who never dies. He just regenerates into his next incarnation.
Open up a blog.
Right. Open up a blog indeed. Understand now? You get it?
Yes, I get it.
Doctor Who never dies.
Never dies.
Instead of dying, he regenerates into a new form, a new shape.
Obviously.
And that's when the new actor takes over.
Could he be a woman if he wanted to?
Well, he doesn't get to pick what he regenerates into. It's sort of a spontaneous thing. When he's near death, the body of the Time Lord will automatically just regenerate and take a new shape because all of his molecules and everything are changing.
I'm bored!
But yes, he absolutely could be a woman if things were just to play out that way. But in this particular case, they have not played out that way.
It's kind of like how a woman could be president. She just won't be.
Wow.
Wow.
Same thing.
That's Bean at krock.com. Mm-hmm. Bean,
no, I'm just saying legally K-Rock. A woman could. .com. But let's be honest.
Oh, you are a hater.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Pat Smear for Foo Fighters. One of the good guys. 54 years old today. Former NBA star Patrick Ewing is 51 years old. Actor Jonathan Silverman celebrates his 47th birthday. And Marsha Brady. From the classic Brady Bunch TV series, Maureen McCormick celebrates her 57th birthday today. Whoever thought that Marsha would be collecting Social Security?
Oh, my God.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There's no excuse not to be on TMZ.com. So many great stories up there, including photos of Anthony Weiner's sexting partner from her new hardcore porn movie. Also, the update on Lindsay Lohan out of rehab. But our man Harvey Levin joins us from the newsroom right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Harvey. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys. We're just jammed today. There's crazy stuff going on.
I know.
Anything you need to tip us off to, other than what's on the site already?
Oh no, you got to. You'll tell everybody in a few minutes.
All right.
It's going to be. I like it. Listen, we know you got to go to a meeting, but we wanted to talk just briefly about this Simon Cowell story because it seems to have really taken traction with your listeners, your readers rather. Is Simon in big trouble here? Is this, or is he? Is he just so rich that
he wants out of this thing? I mean, in a big way. Let me tell you, it's pretty simple. Simon bangs his good friend's wife. Simon gets her pregnant. She says that the husband, now her lawyer's denying this, but we have her friends telling us that she's saying, look, he knew all along this was going on. It's been going on a year. He's saying, no way, I didn't have any idea.
Right.
He sues her and Simon, alleging adultery. In New York, adultery is a crime punishable by 3 months in jail. Simon wants out of this thing in the worst way. She has a prenup, so she's going to get no money from this guy, but she wants full custody, and he wants full custody. Simon's telling her, get me out of this damn divorce now. It's terrible for me. Just settle this thing. You're not getting any money from him. I'm going to be the one giving you money. Get me out of this. She's in a bind because she doesn't want to fold like a cheap suit on this custody issue, but Simon becomes her meal ticket in a way, and nice. So now she's backed into a corner. That's pretty much it.
Can I just say briefly that as a parent, if you're asking me to give up my rights to my kids, F you so much. I will do just the opposite.
Okay. As a parent, you also don't bang your friend's wife on a boat.
Agreed. But that's done. That's behind you.
So Simon wants this divorce to be finalized so that he doesn't look like the adulterer, so he doesn't look like a bad guy running around with another man's wife, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're all saying that, oh, they want to settle it privately. It's really nasty, and they've got their lieutenants out on both sides going out and trashing the other side. And Simon's caught in the crossfire. So that's the deal. That's what's going on.
The only other thing that I was curious about, Harvey, about this is Simon is still invested in this woman and their baby. I mean, he wants to have a relationship with her.
Together. They're still
together. They are together. How about that?
Yep.
I just assumed that this was Simon and he probably impregnates a few women a month, you know, and this is just another one.
Yeah, it sounds like this. It's not like his reputation has really been wrecked. We never thought that much of him to begin with.
Well, the thing is, though, he's never gotten anybody pregnant as far as we know, so this is the first. And he's with her. So if he says he wants to raise the kid, the whole number.
All right, before we let you go, Harvey, I just have to ask real quick, because we're very excited to see Lindsay Lohan filling in for Chelsea Handler tonight. By all accounts, the taping went great, and she's back. Are you going to get to her? Are you going to have Lindsay on TMZ sometime in the next couple of weeks?
Gee, do you think we've tried to do that?
I'm sure you have, but I also know that a lot of times you come through. I was just wondering if...
We're the only ones that have had her so far. We had her for 18 minutes on the show.
Right. That's why I was curious. I thought she might want to show off how good she looks and sounds right now.
We're trying to work our magic.
All right. Well, we'll let you get to it.
You should put the word out that this is where Lindsay needs to go, right?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely, because she listens to us.
she may.
TMZ.com.
You would be the voice of reason in her life. Think about the options. I mean, no offense, guys, but, you know, it's Dina and Michael versus Kevin and Bean.
Wow, she's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Harvey, have a great week, man. Thanks for jumping on the phone.
See you guys.
By the way, hey, Beer Mug, do you have the winner for the Made in America, by the way?
I do, in fact. It is...
Who is that person?
Morin Bergoa from Pasadena.
Oh, Mervin does good work.
Thank you so much for listening. You're going to see Nine Inch Nails, Queens of the Stone Age, Imagine Dragons, Macklemore, and so much more. It's the Made in America Festival in Philadelphia. Starting today on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:10, we're going to hook you up with a standby boarding list for Depeche Mode in New York City. Got that for you all week here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock. Go to krock.com for details.
What's Rush Limbaugh complaining about now, being more hated than the Taliban? What's that about?
Well, he's doing a round of interviews right now because he just celebrated his 25th anniversary of doing his syndicated radio show. He's the highest paid, I think. He might be number two to Stern. He's certainly the most listened to radio personality in America. He's on over 600 radio stations, yet he still, listen to this tape in this recent interview, still does not sound like he's very happy.
The Republican leadership isn't conservative. They're not particularly crazy about conservatives. I mean, I fairly prominent media conservative. I get more grief than the Taliban gets. I get more grief than Al Qaeda gets.
Oh, Rush.
What the hell is he talking about?
I have no idea.
What is he talking about?
I mean, Rush likes to be on the outside of things. He likes to be the one who's complaining about the way things are. I mean, that's his niche, right? Isn't that your understanding?
Plus, he spends his whole time calling everybody that doesn't agree with him names. So you're going to get a little hate. I mean, there's nobody sitting down today going, hey, Taliban, stop it. You know, like, why would you do that? Of course he gets more.
Well, we wanted to find out more what's going on in his head. So we asked producer Dave to line up Rush Limbaugh. And I believe we have him on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Rush.
My friends, how are you? Good morning to you.
Well, we are good. How are you today?
I am being given grief.
Right.
By the American people, by the American media.
Mm-hmm. For being fat?
I am given more grief than Al-Qaeda.
That's what you said, yeah.
I receive more grief than the Taliban gets,
right,
my friends.
But you're so popular, you have millions of fans, you're incredibly wealthy, you do whatever you want whenever you want to do it. It doesn't sound like you have a life worth complaining about.
My life is extraordinarily difficult, my friends. Let me tell you this. Because I get nothing but grief. I get nothing but bad behavior from people towards me. I'll have you know, my friends, last night, for example, I'm at a restaurant. I'm eating dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I was served my caviar with a metal spoon. Can you imagine?
Is that bad?
Oh, for God's sakes. Do you know nothing, sir?
I don't either.
Are you a mush-headed liberal media wonk?
I don't think I am. No, I don't understand most of those words, but I don't
caviar
think I am.
Caviar must never be served with a metal spoon. It affects the taste of the caviar.
Wow.
He used a bone or shell spoon only.
You must have been crushed.
I didn't know that. That's embarrassing.
It was perhaps one of the most repulsive experiences of my life.
Wow.
Yeah. You're lucky you survived.
It's as if I was serving in Afghanistan.
Well,
come on.
I'm not sure it's exactly like being in combat.
That. It's exactly like that. I have now post-traumatic stress syndrome. Or post-stress traumatic syndrome, or whatever the syndrome is that people get.
You don't have that.
Is it the fact that you are in a position where you can enjoy caviar? Isn't that the takeaway from your meal yesterday, Rush?
I'll have you know, Mike, the takeaway this week about how much grief I get. I was with a half a dozen whores last night at one time.
Okay.
One of them had not been freshly waxed. Can you imagine my horror? It's as if I was waterboarded.
It's not. That's not the same thing at all.
Or, in this case, hairboarded.
So, you were having sex with six prostitutes, but one of them was a little fuzzy, and that's your complaint.
I may never recover, my friends. That's the kind of grief that Rushbo has to deal with on a regular basis.
How do you do it? Where do you get the strength from?
Intestinal fortitude.
Yeah.
And knowing that I'm right, that I'm an American.
That's right.
And of course, my vitamins. My vitamins also help.
You should just take
those
one
vitamin.
Those
sound like vitamins, Rush.
They are. It's a vitamin, what's it say here? OxyContin vitamin. Vitamin O. Vitamin O, I guess it is.
Yeah. No, that's not, an, that's
the
not
thing
a vitamin.
That gets me through.
That's a painkiller. That's not a. That's an actual
I'm
strong painkiller.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
That is a strong
pills.
Strong painkiller.
I've taken many, many of these pills.
You probably shouldn't.
I probably should. I've taken more than I should have.
Right.
You should lay down maybe or something.
I have some more. That's probably the answer.
No, that's not the answer.
I probably should not have enough of these pills, my friends. That's what it is.
If you take more, you might not get much flack for much longer.
Rush.
Oh, no! Oh, Rush.
Violent.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
It is Monday. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Good guys fighting bad guys beat the blue guys this weekend at the box office as we look at the top 10 movies in cineplexes around these great United States. Two Guns was the number one movie of the weekend, and its debut made $27.4 million, making it number one. Then The Wolverine battled his way to number two, $21.7 million, and then The Smurfs. Smurf 2 coming in with $18.2 million. Not nearly what they expected it to make. I don't know why. People just turned their back on the Smurfs this time. I think it was those naughties. Those new pink Smurfs. Nobody cares for them. The Conjuring.
There are a lot of kids' movies that parents can take their kids to and enjoy them as well. This does not look like one of them.
Yeah, in the top 10 alone, there's Despicable Me 2 and Turbo.
Right.
And, of course, grown-ups, too. You can go take the kids to that. Pacific Rim. They love giant monsters. The Conjuring was fourth in Despicable Me 2, Grown-Ups 2, Turbo, Red 2, The Heat, and Pacific Rim were the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Have you heard the rumors? Katy Perry and Rob Pattinson apparently together. Well, they are. They're out there.
No.
And Katy Perry wants her friend Kristen Stewart to know that she has nothing to worry about. We're just good friends. That's what Katy Perry told the British version of Elle magazine, that she text messaged Kristen Stewart when they became friends and assured her that she, in her words, never disrespect you. And she said that they simply like to hang out together, Katy Perry and Rob Pattinson do. They're just buddies. She told the magazine she's quite proud that she has never slept with Rob Pattinson. And she says they're such good friends, she even farts in front of him. Oh, you're adorable, Katy Perry. You're just a delicate young flower.
That's so sweet.
Oh, that's a true sign of friendship. And you just let one rip in front of your buddy, Rob Pattinson.
I was wondering what it would take to make me regret hanging out with Katy Perry. Now I know.
And that would be it. Let Alone, of course, has her reality show in the works over there at the OWN Network, Oprah's Network, and Star Magazine's reporting that she is asking everyone she's ever known with any sort of star power to make an appearance on her reality show to try to make it a hit. They report that she has reached out to some of her former flames, including Harry Morton, Wilmer Valderrama, and Samantha Ronson to appear on the show. She's even stooped to asking ex-friends Paris Hilton and Brandon Davis. That's right. Brandon Davis, the one who nicknamed her Firecrotch.
Oh, my God.
Really?
To try to bring some drama to the show and make it a success. So she is going through her Rolodex trying to find everyone she can to be on the show. I wonder if she's asked Charlie Sheen yet. Charlie, meanwhile, is enjoying a retread romance with a charming young lady. He is, according to RadarOnline.com, living with two new goddesses in his home. One of them is a porn star named Capri Anderson. Does that name sound familiar to you at all?
Not to me.
Capri Anderson, Lisa, was the adult film actress that was in the hotel room in New York City when Chuck accused her of stealing his $170,000 watch from that hotel room. And he started to beat her, and she had to lock herself inside the bathroom.
And now they're a couple?
And now they're a couple.
Or a triple?
A triple, yes. Isn't that adorable?
Why would she go back?
Well, money. That's where the drugs are, Kevin. That's where the drugs are. No, I guess it's just money. Yeah, but apparently they are they're banging it out. Capri said back then in 2010 when that event happened that she would keep her mouth closed for $1 million. Remember, she tried to extort money out of him?
Yeah.
And then Charlie filed an extortion lawsuit against her that went nowhere. So now they're a happy duo. Isn't that charming?
How about that?
Love conquers all, people. That's what I've always said.
You've never said that once.
And how does this work? How does this list work? How did this happen? AshleyMadison.com. You know them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Bean's always on there looking for some strange. It's for married people looking to have affairs. And so on that website, they asked married men to participate in a poll that would result in who's your fantasy girl? What girl do you vote most cheat worthy?
Farrah Abramson?
Not Farrah Abramson. XQPPLRJQRKKFM.
I don't have time for that.
What celebrity would you find most cheat worthy? Would you cheat on your spouse with the most? Who has that lure, that attraction that would make you cheat behind your spouse's back in order to be with her?
That's just another way of asking who you think is the hottest chick out there, right?
Yeah.
The one I only have Kate Upton, but it wouldn't be a surprise. I would just tell her, look, it's Kate Upton. Do you blame me?
You tell your wife?
Sure.
Oh, that's nice.
She'd have to understand that.
She'd have to. What are you going to do?
Right.
Here's the top five vote getters, okay?
Okay.
Every man's fantasy girl, according to AshleyMadison.com. Most cheat worthy.
Okay.
Number five, Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Oh, Beyonce.
Absolutely.
Number four, Sofia Vergara.
Yep.
Number three, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Second place, Mila Kunis.
Sure.
So far, we're all pretty much agreeing with these men's penises, right?
Are we going to be mad at number one? Because if it's not Kate Upton.
Oh, are you going to be mad?
Oh, come on.
Number one, according to AshleyMadison.com, every married man's fantasy girl, the girl you would most likely cheat behind your spouse's back in order to be with her, Miley Cyrus.
Oh, I knew you were going to say Miley.
Miley Cyrus.
What?
No! Miley Cyrus.
Come on.
That's just not possible.
No! Miley Cyrus.
There's no way. That's
You're
not,
being
that's
funny.
I'm
read
not.
It, read it again. Look at the paper again.
I am the looking, same people as
I'm
the people
at the
Maxim.
Paper. I'm looking at the paper.
Oh, God, no.
I am reading the paper.
And they spell Jennifer Aniston M-I-L-E-Y? That's what's going on there?
God, that'd be bad, too, but not as bad as Miley Cyrus.
No! That
is absurd.
Most cheat-worthy by the majority of married men that belong to the AshleyMadison.com website. That was their choice. That was the one they wanted.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
What are we missing?
Miley Cyrus.
No.
Miley Cyrus.
No.
Yes.
No.
Miley Cyrus.
No.
Miley
no.
Cyrus.
No.
Miley Cyrus.
Hell no.
Yes.
No.
Miley Cyrus.
No.
Miley Cyrus.
I refuse. No. No.
Miley Cyrus. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Jonathan Silverman's 47 years old today. Former NBA star and just a handsome, handsome man. Patrick Ewing is 51 years old today. Brady Bunch star Maureen McCormick. She was Marcia. I guess she still is in many of our hearts. She's 57 years old today. She was playing football in the backyard with her brothers, and instead of breaking their nose, they broke her hip with the football. That was so sad. Guitarist Pat Smear of Foo Fighters, 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You sell for the game, Ralph?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Coming up next is your opportunity to win tickets to a very special advanced screening of Kick-Ass 2. How anticipated is this freaking movie?
Looks
Can't wait.
Great.
Loved Kick-Ass, and now these are the further adventures of Kick-Ass and Hit-Girl as they take on the Red Mist, who's now known by another name. I can't say it on the radio. It's the Mother Effer. That's what he calls himself. This is going to be awesome. Of course, Kick-Ass and Hit-Girl are both teen superheroes. So if you know your teen superheroes, that's what the trivia questions are going to be about in the next piece. Call in now, 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to go see the advanced screening of Kick-Ass 2, we'll be playing that next.
Alex Rodriguez, who hasn't played for the Yankees this entire season because of injuries, is due back on the team today, the day he's getting suspended for the rest of the season. We'll talk to Matt Money Smith about that coming up just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we got a brand new What's Up with Florida. First, though, Ralph Garman in studio. You got something special for the kids. What's up?
Kick-Ass 2. I've been waiting for this movie for so very, very long. Kick-Ass, of course, one of the great comic book titles created by artist John Romita Jr., Mark Millar, to tell you guys.
No. Published. I love the first movie. I don't know any of that, but I love the first movie.
Well, if you love the movie, you would actually love the comics, too, because the first movie, Kick-Ass, was a very faithful reproduction of the comic books. And now Kick-Ass 2 will pick up where Kick-Ass left off. Of course, Hit Girl. And Kick-Ass will be fighting side-by-side. Big Daddy's gone now, of course, played by Nicolas Cage in the first film. But they're joined by a new superhero buddy, Colonel Stars, played by Jim Carrey in this film. And as they join Justice Forever and they team up with other superheroes to take on the bad guys, we're going to get more and more. If you'd like to see this film, it's going to be a very special K-Rock screening of Kick-Ass 2 August 13th at the AMC Burbank 16. And then the movies in theaters everywhere on Friday, August the 16th. But we're not just going to give away these tickets. You're going to have to earn them. So I want to talk to my people, my fellow comic book geeks. I'm going to ask you some questions because Kick-Ass and Hit Girl, of course, are teenage superheroes. All of these questions are going to be about teen heroes. And that's why we're calling the game Teen Heroes. They, Kevin and me. Sit back and relax. And
you. You guess the team.
Sensitive, Omar. I like it.
Yeah.
For tickets to see Kick-Ass 2.
Is this an all skate?
You can win them just if you play.
Does this end at all? Or?
This is Teen Heroes.
This is Teen Heroes.
Now it's time to play.
Yeah, okay, let's play. Let's Teen Heroes. I will ask you a trivia question about a teenage superhero or a group of teenage superheroes. If you answer that question correctly, you don't even go into a drawing. We've got five pairs of tickets to give away as people win. If nobody wins, then I'll sell them some.
This is Teen Heroes. Right,
thank you,
Mark.
We got it.
Let's just take them in order, Beer Mark. We'll start with Brian. He'll be on line one, and he's our first contestant up to play Teen Heroes.
Brian?
Hey, Kevin Bean. Yeah.
Are you a geek?
Yes.
All right. Here's your question. Superboy, which, of course, was Clark Kent when he was young, before he became Superman. In the comics, he was visited by three teenagers from the 30th century, Lightning Boy, Saturn Girl, and Cosmic Boy. They told him that they were members of a superhero club. What was the name of that superhero club from the future?
Man, I have no idea.
Stupid.
The famous Dumb. Legion of Superheroes.
Everybody knows that.
Oh, Brian, you disappoint me, man.
This is Teen Heroes.
Let's go to Ryan. He's on line two. He's up next on the Kevin Amin Show.
Ryan, did you know that first one?
Nope, not at all.
Oh, okay. Then you're in bad shape. Dick Grayson, of course, started as a teenager working under Batman for years as Robin. He was raised, however, in a circus with his parents. They were trapeze artists. What was the name of the circus Dick Grayson Robin grew up in?
The Flying Gracies?
That was the name of the act, but they were in Haley's Circus. Haley's Circus was the name of the circus where
you
Dick Grayson
me,
grew up.
You disgust me, Ryan.
Oh,
everybody so
knows that. Everybody. Obviously. I bet this guy would have known. Rob? Hey, Rob?
What's happening?
Hey, man, did you know the answer to that last one?
No, I didn't.
Okay, we're in good shape then.
Ralph, you stand alone today.
I wouldn't have won these either.
Peter Parker, of course, Spider-Man. He became Spider-Man when he was a teenager. Despite his superpowers, he was regularly taunted by many of his peers, particularly one bully football star from his high school. Do you know the name of the guy who used to pick on Peter Parker?
Flash Thompson,
that's Woo! Right!
There we go.
Well done. Right. You are going to see Kick-Ass 2, sir. Hold on, we'll give you all the details. See?
Fantastic.
See, these are my people.
Let's go to Robert. He's on line four. He's up next. Wow, the chicks are just really
Stop
put
it.
Out of the woodwork for this one. It's insane. Just girl after girl after
Stop
girl
it.
Again.
I'm not listening to you. Robert.
Good morning, guys.
Here you go. Here's your question, Robert. Legendary spy and assassin the Winter Soldier actually turned out to be Captain America's former teenage sidekick, all grown up. What's his name?
That would be Mr. Bucky.
Bucky Barnes. That's correct, sir. Congratulations. Hold on.
Thank
you're going
you.
To see Kick-Ass 2. See, now they're warming up. Now they're warming up, people.
This is Teen Heroes.
This is Teen Heroes.
Let's go to another lady on line
Stop
five.
It.
It's going to be Brandon.
Stop
Brandon it. Is up next.
Brandon?
Yeah, how you doing?
Brandon, are you familiar with the Teen Titans, the superhero team, the Teen Titans?
Somewhat.
Uh-oh.
That's a no.
I needed the four original members of the Teen Titans when they were first formed. Who were the four original members of the Teen Titans?
Was Dick Grayson as Nightwing?
No. Goes back further than that. But Dick Grayson was one of them, but he was Robin.
He was still Robin. Cyborg, Starfire, Changeling, and Raven.
No, I'm sorry. That's the latest lineup, or the later lineup. The original Teen Titans were Robin, Wonder Girl, Kid Flash, and Aqualad. Sorry about
wow,
that.
Seems like
he came up with
him,
14 Titans, right. And it wasn't good enough for you, right?
Well, it wasn't the right ones. I needed the original lineup, for God's sakes.
You may have to come down.
This is Teen Heroes.
Teen Heroes, man. All right, let's. The chick parade continues. John is up next. John is on line 6 on the Kevin DeBede Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, John. As I mentioned, Aqualad, Aquaman's teenage sidekick, was one of the original members of the Teen Titans. He grew up and became another superhero that went by another name. Do you know the name of grown-up Aqualad's superhero identity?
No, I don't.
Tempest. He was known as Tempest. Yeah. Sorry about that.
You deflated him. He's so depressed.
It sounded really down.
Let's try Marcel, line 7, up next here.
All right, this is the last question. We got three more pairs of tickets to give away, so I hope Marcel gets this one. Marcel, are you a comic book fan?
Yes.
All right. Well, get a damn answer right. Here's your question. Speedy was the teenage sidekick of the Green Arrow. Speedy.
His Gonzalez.
No, next Gonzalez. Speedy, of course, Roy Harper was his secret identity. He grew up to be a superhero in his own right and went by a few different names as an adult superhero. I will accept either one of them.
I have none of them for you.
Oh, all for right. God's sakes, Marcel. I would have accepted Arsenal or Red Arrow. Red Arrow also would have been acceptable, but sadly you came up nothing. You get nothing. Good day, sir.
You get nothing and you'll like it.
Yeah.
All right, more tickets tomorrow for Kick-Ass 2. K-Rock screening to be on the 13th. It opens everywhere on the 16th. We have been playing Teen Heroes.
This is Teen Heroes, and I'm glad you played.
Brand new What's Up with Florida coming up in minutes here on the Kevin DeBede Show. First, though, let's welcome our old friend Matt Money Smith from the Petros & Money Radio Show, heard weekday afternoons on AM 570, Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Matt, how are you, buddy?
What's happening, guys?
Kevin and Dave are in Chicago right now.
Oh, they are? For yes, we are. Dodger game?
The Lollapalooza Dodger game.
What?
Dave went to the Dodger game, yeah.
Yeah? And you're Lollapalooza. Yeah, but, how long are you there for?
Just till today. We're leaving today.
Oh, you bum. Why would
you
not
since Thursday.
You know, there was a time when Kevin would call me. This is pre-email, right? And he would say, hey, I'm going to Chicago. You get your boys to pick me up. And you make sure they do not drop me off at my hotel room until 10 a.m. the next day.
I had no problem with that without them, but I'm sorry I didn't call you.
You're such a weenie.
I know.
Well, listen, buddy, the reason we wanted to have you on is because today is D-Day for Alex Rodriguez. We were laughing a couple of minutes ago about how he's been out this entire season with injuries. He's scheduled in the lineup today, the very day that he might be suspended for 200 games. This timing is not a coincidence, right?
Yes. No, it's, well, yes and no. I mean, the baseball was trying, I think they wanted to release this on the weekend, you know, avoid the news cycle. But then I think about it more, and Bud Selig wants it to be the news cycle. He wants to be the commissioner that cleaned the game of baseball up, which is, like you said, why perhaps the timing isn't necessarily ironic so much as it is completely and totally planned by the commissioner of baseball to make his point.
And the thing about Alex Rodriguez that I think is so fascinating, even for folks who don't care about baseball, is this is the guy who's one of the greatest players of all time, has the most, as much natural ability as anyone who's ever played the game. And I don't think I'm exaggerating, am I, Money?
No, you know, the idea behind when people said, why would the Yankees sign him to a $250 million contract that's going to take him through the age of 42? The point was because he's probably going to be breaking all of baseball's records when he's turning 40, 41, and 40. You know, the home run record, perhaps the hits record. You know, here's someone who can hit for average, who can hit for power, and you'll want to go see him in the twilight of his career, and it's been the exact opposite. The Yankees are so desperate to have him labeled a cheat or, you know, and a fraud and try to avoid that contract to get out of those remaining 4 years because nobody cares about those milestones anymore.
Yeah, that's Thing one. And thing two is even Yankees fans don't like Alex Rodriguez because of the way he plays the game, the way he presents himself, the way he interacts. I mean, he just seems like a tool, and nobody likes him.
You know what? That's believe it or not, a pretty accurate way to describe him. He's a tool. You know, he just is. He's narcissistic. He doesn't have any friends. He's kind of, you know, and look, I'm not trying to cut the guy any slack, but when you're plucked out of poverty and your father's abandoned your family and you're 17 years old and you're brought up with kind of this entourage and hangers-on, I don't know how you develop. You know, I don't know what kind of person you develop into. You know, this is someone that's really never had a peer group that was just kind of this baseball wonder kind growing up. And by the time he wasn't even an adult yet, he was already in the major league pipeline and on track to become, you know, one of the richest, one of the greatest, being told that all along the way. So I don't know what kind of personality that develops, but I guess I shouldn't be too surprised that,
right,
that A-Rod's a weirdo.
And this suspension that we expect to come down is going to be for the rest of this year and for all of 2014, is that
right? That's the word, yeah. I mean, that's that John Heyman from CBS Sports, who's a really good baseball information guy. He's the one that broke it and said that originally baseball was threatening a lifetime ban if Alex didn't take the deal. That's what Ryan Braun did. I think all the other players that they announced today, there's a handful of guys, Johnny Peralta, Nelson Cruz, that are on playoff teams. They're going to be booted for the rest of the regular season for 50 games, and I think they wanted A-Rod to admit it, you know, to sign the paper, yes, I did this, yes, I accept the suspension, but he's not going to.
Does gonna that void it. His entire contract with the Yankees or no?
No, he would just get, you know, he would get slapped with this suspension that'll take him through the end of next year, and it'll cost him about $35 million.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And the reason he's the poster child, besides the fact that he's the most high profile of the players named, is that he has failed drug tests before, right? So they feel like he's a repeat offender. And he also somehow tried to interfere with the investigation, correct?
Well, that's where they're trying to get him, yeah. In that he tried to, I guess, coerce a witness into presenting, I guess, like some sort of website where he got this, and that's why there was something in his. I mean, it's weird. It's like the Ryan Braun thing took on that sort of personality, that case did, and, you know, they're guys that are trying to salvage a reputation, but really more than that being they're trying to salvage their contract. You know, they don't, you know, they're terrified that they're going to lose, like I said, $35 million and not earn a paycheck for a year and a half. Sure, they've made, you know, 350 in their career, but the idea that you're leaving $35 million on the table, they want to figure out a way to fight that, and I think that's kind of what Bud Selig is trying to do, is say, accept this, and you'll get the remaining, whatever it is, $77 million on that contract, but I'm taking 40 from you, and that's the deal. But
the Yankees are going to be thrilled to welcome him back and start paying him $35 million again in a year and a half.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the shame of this, is, you know, here was a team that was the poster child of what was wrong with baseball, that any time another squad found a homegrown talent, brought them up through their farm system, their fans fell in love with them, the Yankees would double their, triple their salary or their best offer and just take them.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know, what I guess their cross to bear is now, is all these dudes are old, they have all these massive contracts, and the Yankees suck. And that baseball might, you know, give them a break by voiding this contract. It's going to put them right back into, you know, a spot where they aren't over the luxury tax, where they can go out and get some of this homegrown talent and pay it twice, three times as much, and just go back to being what Bud Selig hates about the Yankees.
So what will Alex do? Just sit at home in his bedroom in Miami and look at the giant oil painting of himself as a centaur?
No, he's going to play today. Because he's not going to take – that's what's great about this, all right? So start at your first – you know, the first point you made, Bean. The suspensions are going to come down today. Alex Rodriguez is going to be suspended through the 2014 season. A-Rod is scheduled to start today in Chicago against the White Sox. So he's not going to play. No, he is going to play because he's going to appeal. He's not going to take the deal. He's going to fight it. And while he's fighting it and it goes to arbitration, he can play. And he can earn his paycheck. So you will see him on the field the day that he was announced to be suspended for a season and a third.
Well, that's not going to be a distraction for the Yankees at all going forward.
No, I think it's pretty good for the clubhouse, right? They probably won't face any of those questions. Yeah, it could not be more absurd.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. It really is. And like I said, because it's Alex and because of the history that he has, the kind of guy he is, it really is fascinating to watch. I mean, I wonder what people will think about Alex Rodriguez when they look back after his career.
That he was a narcissistic goof that had a picture of a centaur in his front room above his fireplace.
Exactly.
Think of him.
All right, Matt Money Smith, weekday afternoons, Fox Sports Radio, AM 570. Say hi to the P for us, man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Well, for sure. Have fun in Chicago, Kevin.
Just announced this morning, K-Rock Road Trip USA 2013. Stop number 3 is Depeche Mode in New York City. Got those chances for you all throughout the day today, 9, 10, 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10. So that means later this morning on the Kevin Amin Show, we will put you on the standby boarding list to see that band. They are great live, too. If you've never seen them, what a treat. Anyway, we'll draw the grand prize winner on Friday morning. You can get your details at krock.com. It's Monday now, and time for a brand new What's Up with Florida.
You goddamn people in Florida! You retarded bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida. Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
Florida definitely has it going on, man. They get more than their fair share of crazy stories, and that's why we like to spotlight them in this feature.
I'd say more than that. They have like 95% of all the crazy stories. It's absurd the amount of stories that come out of Florida.
Yes, I'll never figure it out. Lee County, Florida is where we go first. 911 is called on a bar fight, the Keys Bar in Fort Myers. 911 is called. Several minutes later, deputies are en route to the scene at a normal pace when a second 911 call is made from the location. This time, the caller identifies himself as Ryan Warish, a 24-year-old. He says, "I have a gun. Shots have been fired." Because of this information, they ramp up the deputies and 8 police officers arrive. They walk in. He's screaming at the top of his lungs while he's on the phone with dispatchers. Deputies confront him, and he says he and his friends have been in a fight. They said, "Where's the gun?" He says, "There is no gun. I just told you I had a gun so that you would get here faster."
Ugh. Wow.
There had been a shooting earlier that day, by the way, so he thought the police would already be pretty ramped up. So he figured if he said he had a gun and shots were being fired, they would respond quicker, and he could get some help for this fight he was in the middle
of. Wow.
So, yeah, he's charged with misusing the 911 system and was, in fact, arrested for that. Is it ever a good idea to lie about having a gun to a police officer?
What an idiot.
I'm going to go with no.
I say no as well. Nicholas DeMig, 34. We are now in Martin County. Sheriffs show up. He is apparently intoxicated in the 2900 block of Southeast Ellendale Street. He will not leave. He's causing a ruckus. He says he's there to buy pot. This is what he tells the cop. "I'm here to buy pot. This illegal alien took my money and won't give me my marijuana." They said, "Hey, you're drunk. Get out of here." He said, I'm not going anywhere until I get my weed." He says to the police officer.
The police officer was already being cool by saying, "Get out of here."
Right, exactly. Told he'd be arrested if he didn't leave. The man said, "You arrest me then." While he was being taken away in handcuffs, he was screaming and yelling about illegal aliens and how they were ruining our country before being arrested on a disorderly intoxication charge. It sounds to me like you're the one who's ruining our country, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
If you're screaming and yelling and drunk in this guy's lawn, the illegal alien is just trying to provide some weed. That's all. He's the good guy in this story. Here's a very strange story out of Fort Pierce, Florida. This is a guy who was arrested. He was in a liquor store complaining about a beverage that he wanted to buy that was not available. He was so upset that he caused a disturbance by rearranging all of the bottles on the shelves. That's what he decided to do for revenge.
What?
He's 60 years old. His name is Richard Lloyd. He was causing a disturbance with the worker. He was angry because the business did not sell his favorite liquid refreshment. "This is what you need to sell," he said as he started to yell, presenting a bottle of soda. "I want my money back." He was asking for money back for a beverage that he had brought in that he did not buy at the store and that the store did not sell. A cashier said Lloyd started yelling profanity toward an employee who wasn't there. "Althea is a female dog," is what he is quoted as saying in the newspaper article. They don't want to put bitch in the newspaper article. The cashier said that Lloyd took items from the shelf and moved them all around the store. The cashier kept asking him to stop, but he continued ferrying stuff away, rearranging the shelves. Police told Lloyd he had to leave, to which he responded. And let's see if we can figure out what this one is in newspaper speak. "Sexual intercourse, you male masturbation. Sexual intercourse, make me." He was arrested for disturbing the peace and resisting an officer with violence charges. And finally, on What's Up with Florida, we talk about this all the time. When you have a perfectly normal name and you're going through your life and everything's fine, and then something happens in the news and all of a sudden you're fill in the blank. Well, that's what it's like for two Florida men whose name is, in fact, Carlos Danger.
Oh, right.
Imagine, like, it's not tough enough to be named Carlos Danger. Now you're all over the news because that's the name that Anthony Weiner, the mayoral candidate in New York City, was using for his online chats with women around the country. He called himself Carlos Danger. There are two men in Florida. One is a Miami-based psychiatrist affiliated with a medical clinic. His name is Carlos Danger. Another is a 65-year-old man from Isla Mirada, Florida, in the Florida Keys, could not be reached despite repeated attempts. Can you imagine what your life would be like now if your name was Carlos Danger?
First of all, your life sucks because your name is Carlos Danger.
Yeah, that's
this.
Been bad all the time, right?
Right. And then this comes along.
Now Anthony Weiger's reader's driving you through the mud. I'm dying to know if there are other Carlos Dangers around the country. This article happens to be about Florida. It's no surprise to me that there are two of them in Florida, though, because that's how honked up that state is. And that's why we do What's Up with Florida.
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Comedian and host of Shark After Dark, part of the Discovery Channel's Shark Week, Josh Wolf, joins us coming up next year on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. Hey, Rob.
Because it is Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what won. Two Guns. $27.4 million.
Two Guns, One Cup, he said.
$27.4 million makes it number one. Then The Wolverine with $21.7 million was second. The Smurfs 2 underperformed, only $18.2 million, but it was good enough to make it number three. The Conjuring was fourth. Despicable Me was fifth. Grown Ups 2 came in at number six. Then the rest of the top ten is Turbo, Red 2, The Heat, and Pacific Rim. All of those could be porn movies. Turbo, Red 2, The Heat, Pacific Rim, all of those could be porn films. Sharknado. How did Sharknado do in its special midnight screenings? No official numbers in yet, but Hollywood Reporter says that in the 200 Regal-owned theaters, the movie took in less than $200,000.
Oh.
That's about $1,000 per screen. For the midnight Friday showings of Sharknado in theaters. So,
is it possible they still made money on it?
I guess.
Because all this is gravy, right? The fact that it's done such business on TV is really all they need.
But $1,000 per screen.
It's pretty weak.
That's not great.
It's pretty weak. Who's going to be the next Batman? Of course, Batman versus Superman will be the second Man of Steel movie. A lot of speculation. Now over the weekend, Hollywood Reporter said that Josh Brolin has the inside track because he fits the Batman that Warner Brothers wants. Apparently they want an older, established Batman who's wiser and has been around for a while taking on the young, upstart Superman in the new film.
So this is all positioning for the next one?
I don't understand that question. They're going to make another Man of Steel movie, a second Man of Steel movie.
Right.
And then in that one, Batman's going to be fighting Superman in that movie.
Oh, okay, I got you.
And so, to do that, they're looking for an older Batman. Older
Harrison Ford would be my suggestion.
Henry Cavill. And they're saying Josh Brolin apparently has the inside track over there at Warner Brothers. So, we're going to hear a lot of speculation about who's going to play Batman before they officially announce. So, just sit back and take it all with a grain of salt. There was a lot of speculation about who would be the next Doctor Who. That ended yesterday on the BBC special on Sunday morning here in the States, where they announced that Peter Capaldi will be the 12th Doctor. He will appear in the upcoming 50th anniversary season, starting with the special Christmas Day episode, where Matt Smith will regenerate into the brand new Doctor, Peter Capaldi, who's an established actor in the UK. He's been in a ton of stuff.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Including very two successful TV series, one, The Thick of It, that ran from 2005 to 2012, and then The Hour. He's also one of the stars in that show as well. So
I thought it was interesting to read, Ralph, that he has been a guest actor on Doctor Who previously as well.
Yes. He did do one episode. And he was also in a Torchwood miniseries called Torchwood Children of Earth with John Barrowman. So he's got some history with the franchise and a huge Doctor Who fan in his own right. During the special on Sunday, they showed a letter that he had written to the British version
of TV Guide called the Radio Times when he was 15 years old talking about Doctor Who and giving comments about it. So
sorry, I missed that.
He is overjoyed. It was very exciting, the special, because they brought guests like Peter Davidson, the Fifth Doctor, and they interviewed them. And they built
it
all up.
Nothing you've said in the last 3 minutes interests me.
Build up to the big announcement. It was like the American Idol finale. And then there was confetti blowing into the air when he came out and everything. It was very exciting.
I don't care.
Obviously.
You didn't get up at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday to watch the big Doctor Who announcement, Kevin?
Dear God, no.
You don't know what you're missing,
man. What's wrong with you?
Open up a blog. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Jonathan Silverman, he's 47 years old today. Former NBA star Patrick Ewing, 51 years old. Guitarist and all-around good guy Pat Smear from Foo Fighters is 54. And Maureen McCormick, she used to be Marcia of the Brady Bunch. She's now 57 years old today.
She's still got a bell?
I think she's attractive.
I'm going with no on that one.
Do yourself a favor. Pull up a recent picture of Maureen McCormick.
Thank you.
Bring out the bell vacuum. Suck that one out of the air. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
1 hour from right now, not only will we get you on the standby boarding list for Depeche Mode in New York City, we will try to decipher Kevin's texts and tweets from a long weekend of Lollapalooza. I can't imagine how you're still alive today based on just the stuff that you were tweeting over the weekend.
A, barely, and B, how dare you?
First, though, it is one of the most exciting weeks of the year on television. The Discovery Channel, I think if I'm doing my math correctly, Kevin, is its 26th Shark Week. And they continue to spice it up with bigger and better shows, including Shark After Dark, which is a new show hosted by comedian Josh Wolf, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Josh. How are you, man?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. I'm sorry to say that I missed the debut of this year's Shark Week. It was last night. I feel like such a goober that I missed it.
It was on late, though, man. It was on late. A lot of people I know missed it.
Occasionally, yeah. They will replay those.
Yeah. I think cable has been known maybe to repeat their shows every now and then. They show them once or twice.
That's correct.
Well, I was talking about how they seem to be mixing it up this year, and I don't know if it's just that they're running out of serious shows that they could do on sharks because they've been doing it for 25 constant years. But this year, with shows like Sharks Behaving Badly, Voodoo Sharks, and your Shark After Dark shows, it sounds like they're trying something new.
Well, I can only speak for my show. And yeah, you know, for my show, I think they saw like what Chris Hardwick does with the Walking Dead show, and you know what Andy Cohen does with the shows after on Bravo, and they wanted to try a kind of a humorous recap / late night talk show,
right?
And that's it. But here's the difference: like, it was live, so we're shooting all of ours live. So there's no editing, and there's no. It's really I'm as a comic, I'm used to live doing live stuff, but live TV is crazy because things went the first time we turned on the cameras yesterday, we were being shown to 7 million people, so it was there were some crazy things that happened last night.
Now, can they at some point just throw a live shark at you to see how you handle that since it's live?
I pitched that. I did pitch that because, you know, as somebody who wants ratings, I don't want to admit that I'm a whore, but let's say sure. I lean towards slut. And we are going to have live sharks on stage on Wednesday night.
Oh, nice.
With Tara Reid and Ian Ziering, who are the stars of Sharknado. And we are making them, well, this is what the pitch is. We're going to have them compete for something on stage, and the loser has to put their hand in the shark tank.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I went swimming with sharks last Monday, guys, for the first time.
How was that? Tell us about that.
Well, listen, I mean, I'm not going to mince any words. I'm a bit of a puss.
Right.
Okay, so I'm not this guy who pretends to be all... here's the thing. This is the difference. I'm brave in a jackassy kind of way.
Right. Okay?
But as far as, like, swimming with a shark, and I've never... snorkeled before. Have you guys ever snorkeled?
Oh, yeah. Snorkeled.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd never snorkeled before. I'd never put on a wetsuit. I had never put on flippers, and I didn't know they put you a 15-pound belt on you.
Were you just born yesterday?
Are you new to the earth, Josh?
No, because I'm not a good... Here's the thing. I'm not a good swimmer, so why would I ever do that, right?
Well, you're the perfect guy to host the Shark Week shows, then.
So, tell me about where did they put you with these sharks?
Okay, here's the thing. So we're going out there, and the guy who is doing the expedition, we're 9 miles off the coast of San Diego, and the guy who's doing the expedition goes, he starts talking like I've snorkeled before. And I said, well, I just want to back up. I've never snorkeled before. And he goes, you shouldn't be out here. And I was like, what?
By the way, shouldn't you have had that conversation before you got on the boat?
Do you know that people and producers and networks will do anything for ratings, right?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, so what's funnier than throwing somebody who can't swim in the middle of the ocean?
Plus, so, if things go terribly wrong and you die, it's a ratings boon.
A big boost. So I said, well, what are my big dangers here? List them for me. And he goes,
sharks
okay.
would be number one, right?
No, that's the worst thing. He said sharks were number four.
What?
He said danger number one. You've never snorkeled before. We teach people to snorkel in a pool.
Right.
Right? He said there are going to be waves crashing into your snorkel. You're not going to be prepared for that. You have to be trained to blow it out. You're going to suck it in, and you're going to panic.
And you're going to die.
Yeah, he goes, you're going to drown way before the sharks get
you. Well, that's good news,
even,
I guess.
Don't even worry about the sharks. You'll be dead before they even get to your body.
Yeah, that's basically what he said. He said, number two, you've never been in a wetsuit before, right? And you've never swam with a weight around your waist. You're going to sink. He said, you're going to jump in, and you're going to sink. He said, again, you're going to drown before the sharks get to you. He said, problem number three, look, if you don't know how to do this, we're deep in the open ocean. The waves are going to push you way away from the boat.
Right.
And then you're going to sink and you're going to drown.
Now, at this point, you said, let's do it.
Well, here's the thing. And I go, well, what's next? He goes, there's always sharks. And I was like, oh, yeah. So then I jump in. We really wanted the sharks to come around, you know, because we really wanted to get the shot. So literally, as I'm there and sharks are starting to swim around, chum is falling around my head.
No.
They're throwing chum. At one point, I see the shark to my right, and it's pretty close, and it's majestic, and it really was amazing. And then I turned to my left to give the thumbs up to the camera, and just a fish head went floating by my face.
Oh, no.
So the guy says to me when I came up, sorry for throwing that so close to your head, bro. And I go, why? What's the danger? He goes, well, when you're that close to the chum, the shark might think you're chum. And I was like, yeah. Shouldn't we have worked this out maybe before I jumped into the water as
seems
a non-swimmer?
Like maybe a lot you should have worked out before you did that.
But that piece airs on Thursday, I believe.
So that basically, like every night during Shark Week, you're on at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
And you recap what has gone on the Discovery Channel?
We talk about the shows that happened. We have guests on. We have shark experts. We have shark survivors. We have celeb guests who are big shark fans. Like last night, we had Dominic Monaghan on, and he talked about his new show, Wild Things.
Right.
And you know, he's just he's big about sharks, and he's big about talking about how you know they're misunderstood. And so we have a lot of. We're not a. And it's really important to Shark Week and Discovery, and to me, too, that we're not perpetuating the myth that sharks eat everybody, right? But we're kind of celebrating the week because I had no idea how much of a party this week was. Like, there are huge drinking games across the country for Shark Week, and so it's really been an amazing experience for me. Last night, I was overwhelmed with responses on social media just by how many people are watching the show. And
well, people look forward to it. I mean, people look forward to it every year like they do the Oscars, you know. I mean, it's a big deal. This is the voice of a comedian and actor and host Josh Wolf here on the Kevin Amin Show talking about Shark After Dark on the Discovery Channel, part of Shark Week all week. Hey, you made a reference. Speaking of social media, you said something in the Twitter about eating chum. Was that the story you were just telling, or did you eat chum additionally in the studio as well?
We did a field piece where I went to where this guy makes chum. And at the end of the piece, I asked him, during the piece, it was great, actually. You know when sometimes you can say things to people and they're so caught up in their own world, they don't know what you're saying to them?
Right, right.
So we were making the chum, and I asked him, I go, hey, man, have you ever tasted your own chum? And he goes, yeah, once when it splashed in my face. I go, really? I said, your chum is splashing your face? And he goes, yeah. And I go, is it hard to get out of your hair? And he goes, yeah, it actually is. It's hard to get chum out of your hair.
You're in two different conversations, aren't you?
And then I asked him, I said, so have you ever tasted your friend's chum? And he's like, nah. I go, never, not even in college? You're experimenting with tequila?
He wasn't listening to you one bit.
Not even a little.
Nope.
But at the end, I thought we would do, you know, maybe a little, again, I'm brave in a jackassy way, right? So I said, well, let's do a little chum challenge. Where you taste it and I taste it. except we both got a spoonful, and I put my spoonful in my mouth, and he didn't.
He wins.
He basically said, I make this stuff. Do you think I'm going to put it? It's basically, it's raw fish, and it's soaked in blood and fish oil.
Good times.
Pretty much guess that's going to be a nightmare.
It was not great. And then last night on the show, we had the guy. Have you heard of the show called Moonshiners on Discovery?
Sure. Of course,
yeah.
We had Tickle from Moonshiners on our show, and he brought moonshine on, and we basically drank moonshine for about 8 minutes on the show.
Are you positive this is on TV?
On TV. We drank moonshine. It was towards the end of the show. And I said, just pour me a little sip, and I'll taste it. And that's what we talked about in rehearsal. Well, he poured me these, what he considered sips. And then when I took a sip, he called me a puss live on TV, so I had to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up drinking three huge, basically, quarter mason jars. And by the end of that show, I was cross-eyed.
There you go. That's fantastic. That's entertainment right there. Right. That is entertainment.
That's what we want. That's what we want from Shark Week.
The show is called Shark After Dark. It airs at 11 weeknights, I guess all week long, last night through Thursday, right?
Yeah, we got some great guests coming up this week. And like I said, we have some shark survivors. I have a lot of questions that I'm sure everybody has. It's a blend, man. Look, it's a blend of comedy, and also we want to talk to these people who know about sharks and survivors and get as much information out of them as we can. But
absolutely,
we get some good stuff coming up.
Sounds super fun. Josh Wolf, man, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me.
By the way, some great guests coming up later this week, including in-studio musical performance from Lorde. We love her so much. She's going to be here on Thursday. Adam Carolla later in the week. Corey Taylor from Slipknot talking about his new book. Director Charlto Copley is going to be in with us. Comedian Ben Glebe, Jason Biggs stopping by from Orange is the New Black. A lot of good stuff this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, let's talk about crazy people. People who have to eat the same food every day of the week at the same place every day. Bean has to sit in the same seat every time he
goes
to the
same
restaurant.
Sounds like a syndrome, doesn't it?
Sounds a little OCD-ish.
Yeah.
Sounds like order. Sounds like you know where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing, and there's a great deal of comfort in that.
Now, I do tend to repeat stuff a lot once I find something that I like. But, like, if it's Tuesday or something and I can't have what I normally have, I'm all right. Things are okay.
That's madness.
You just move on and, you know, get something else, and then it's good.
But we have regimens. All of us have regimens in our life, right? There's TV shows that you like to watch on a certain night, for instance. There's maybe friends you like to get together with on a certain day. I don't know. It just there's comfort in order, I think. And that's why I have a system, and that's why I know where I'm going to be for some meals of the week, and I know what I'm going to order. And it's
tell
nice to
people, tell people your system.
Well, my system is that I go to IHOP on Tuesdays and I go to Denny's on Thursdays.
All right, now, hold on. So if it's Monday and you feel like going to IHOP, no go.
I'll go to IHOP on Monday too.
Oh, you will. It just if it's
I'll
too,
add
how,
one.
All right, let me ask it a different way. If you can't go to IHOP on Tuesday,
very upsetting.
Very upsetting.
Now, more to the point, remember the day that he was supposed to go to IHOP because it was a Tuesday, but he really felt like going somewhere else, but he couldn't turn the wheel.
Yes,
he literally
did,
couldn't
right.
make his car go there.
Yeah, he said he physically couldn't. That's right.
Nope. He was fighting himself.
What?
We thought
hell?
It would.
There's something
would be,
wrong with that, Bean.
We thought it would be interesting to talk to people who have a meal routine. They have a place that they like to go at a certain day or a certain time or every day and every day at that time. And also, if you order the same thing, because the guys think it's weird that I only order the exact same thing every single time I go to IHOP and every single time I go to Denny's, but I have something that I like. And to me,
but don't they make other things that you would like?
They make other things, but I'm so satisfied with the thing that I'm getting that I don't see any reason to try something else, because something else I might not like as much.
What do you get on Tuesdays? What do you get?
When I go to IHOP,
yes.
I get at IHOP they have the wheat pancakes and the egg whites basically and the turkey bacon and coffee.
Never ever stray from that.
That's my jam.
All right, you have jam. All right, we're
no,
gonna
I
take
don't.
Your we're gonna take your
jam
calls.
1-800-520-1067.
You don't have to be quite as OCD as Bean is. I mean, maybe you switch it up a little bit, but you really do eat the same thing on the same days. That's a strange thing for me.
I think there are a lot of people who probably do that. Maybe not a majority, but I bet we're going to find a bunch of Kevin and Bean listeners who do have a routine.
When we set out for food from K-Rock, for example, we'll go to, say, Subway a lot of days in a row. And I'll get, you know, a meatball sandwich or something. And then you switch it up. You try and go with maybe something, a roast beef or something else. That sounds crazy to you.
It does.
There's only one thing you ever get at Subway.
I have the one meal that I get at each restaurant. Yes, that's right.
I do not
vary from it. But I'm very comfortable with that.
I don't
feel like I'm missing out on anything because I'm getting the exact thing that I crave and the exact thing that I want. So there's no
every time here. Though every time. Like, how long have you gotten the same thing at IHOP?
Years.
How many years?
But it's always great though. So who could?
Let me just ask you this question: what if there's something else at IHOP that you would like better, and you've been missing it all these years because of your stupid little habit?
I can't conceive of that.
But what if there was something
new that you know you love?
I mean, they do put new things on the menu all the time, and I see that, but that's too scary.
Too scary.
All right. We want to hear from you if you've got a meal routine. I don't believe we've ever talked to these people before, but we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You've got a place that you go. You've got an item that you get, and you do not deviate. We want to hear. Let's try to explain why that's awesome when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, Matt writes in: for over a year, 5 days a week at lunch at work, I go to Subway and I get the exact same thing. I barely have to say anything when I come in because they all know my order. Yes, I'm ashamed to say that I'm on Bean's team.
Oh. So you know, it's funny. I've said this many different times, but this is the only radio show where nobody wants to be on either of our sides. Everybody's cool being on Ralph's side. Everybody's cool being on Lisa's side. But if you're on Bean's side, it means something bad. If you're on mine's side, it also means something bad.
We're talking about people like me who tend to eat the exact same food on the exact same days in the exact same places, and you hate to deviate. Let's get to some calls here. We'll start with Andrew. He's on line two, and he's up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Andrew. Thanks a lot for calling. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
You never change, ever?
Never. Been going there, 8 months now? Girlfriend and I, this little diner, every Monday morning, get the same thing.
What?
French toast, bacon, eggs, and hash browns.
Never once went, I'm going to live on the wild side.
And get pancakes instead of French toast.
Right.
Never.
And why do you suppose that is? Like, I'm having trouble explaining why I'm so comfortable with it. Why do you guys do it?
It's just really good food, and why try something new when you got something good in front of you?
Because what if there's something better? There could be something better that both of you are missing because you like what you have.
Andrew,
well,
thank you for the call.
I like what I have.
I know, but you might like something else even better.
Kevin, is this how you run your marriage, too? You go, yeah, I know I got this wife, and she's awesome, but what if there's something better? I guess I better try something else. Is that how that works for you?
She begs me to.
Let's go to Nikki. Nikki is on line five. Nikki is 4 or 5 times a week eating the same meal. Let's find out what that's about. Hi, Nikki.
Hey, how are you guys on this beautiful morning?
Good.
We are good on this beautiful morning. How are you?
What you eating?
I'm good.
What you eating 4 times a week?
Okay, I gotta say, I am on Bean's team at 4 or 5 times a week because I work near the Jack in the Box. I go to the same Jack in the Box at the same time. I get the bacon cheddar potato wedges, the 3 jalapeno poppers, and the 2 tacos. And I'm even down to, like, the condiments I get. Even if they don't have, like, the condiments I want, then it's all ruined for me. I gotta get the same exact condiments, the same exact food, or I'm not happy.
Good for you. Good for you. And you weigh 300 pounds, right? I could not eat that 4 or 5 times a week.
Either.
I know. And, you know, whenever I bring this food, like, back with me to work, everyone's like, how do you eat that kind of food and stay so fit? Like, you don't look like you eat this kind of food. I'm like, thanks, I guess.
I love Nikki. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Spencer. Spencer works in food service and has seen this a bunch. Hi, Spencer.
Right,
thanks
good.
For calling.
Hey, special good morning to Lisa May.
Thank you.
All right, so guys, I work at Panera, and I kind of understand Bean's predicament, but I also don't get it, especially when you go to eat out. Like, I have customers that will come in and order the exact same thing day in, day out, but, like, if I go out to eat, I have to get something different. Like, I hate getting the same thing over and over. It just seems so predictable to me.
So you're wrong, then.
I'm not sure there is right or wrong. It's just weird or normal. And I think he's normal.
No, but let me explain, though. I understand Bean's predicament because I eat the same thing for breakfast every morning. but I make that myself.
You eat the same thing for breakfast.
Is it just
every
because
morning?
It's easy, or that's all you want?
It's like it started because it was easy, and now it's just like if I eat anything else, I don't feel like I'm going to have as good of a day. I don't know if it's like an OCD thing or if it's just like
yes, it's an OCD thing.
Oh, it's an OCD thing. That's not a question.
Well, no, it's becoming like emotional.
Like I will feel like my day is not going to be as good if I don't like get the same breakfast, the same routine in. You know what I mean?
I think you're doing the right thing, Spencer. Thanks for the call.
It makes a lot of sense to me. Let's go to Gene. He's on line 7. He has a little bit of a complicated system, I think. Gene, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What are you eating?
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Hi. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hi. I always have to eat every Thursday and Saturday war wonton soup, and it has to have 3 soy sauce. So I'm very picky about the condiments I put on it, too. But I'm like,
now, what happens if you can't?
I'm like Bean. I'll just, like, freak out and don't know what to do with myself. I'll, like, drive around, try to find something else. But, you know, I'll literally go nuts if I don't have
it. How did it develop to be a Thursday and a Saturday thing?
Oh, well, I travel from Hollywood down to Venice Beach on those nights. So when I come back, especially when I come back, I'm like exhausted. And that's my comfort food or so.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Gene. Appreciate it. Let's do one more. Let's do Scott. Scott is on line 8. Wait till you see, Kevin, how long Scott has been ordering the same item.
Hey, Scott. I was almost hoping that you guys weren't going to get to me because I'm a little embarrassed to be on BSC.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? All right. The topic is people who ate the same food at the same restaurant at the same day. What do you got going on, Scott?
Oh, my gosh. The first time I went, I believe, was either 1988 or 1989. I was first introduced to Cheesecake Factory, and I ordered the Cajun jambalaya pasta. It was the best thing I had ever had. And ever since then, and this is the funny part, I've been through 2 wives and about 6 or 7 girlfriends, but I still, my favorite restaurant, if anyone ever says, hey, where would you like to go? I say Cheesecake Factory, and there's never a question of what I'm going to get. I've been there probably 250 to 300 times in these 25 years.
It's
been the same dish every single time. Every single time, no question.
300 times at the Cheese Factory with the same disc. Do you ever get some sort of a discount or a plaque or they give you a free meal? Is there some sort of a punch card system?
You should own one by now.
No, but pretty much every single one in the Valley knows me and knows when I'm there, what I'm going to order, and just kind of smile, you know. So
that's awesome.
Wow.
And what about Kevin's question, which is, what if the Cheesecake Factory has something even more awesome,
right,
you'd like even better that you've never been able to try?
It would have made your life so much better for the last 25 years.
Well, I think that's not possible because I don't know. If it's because of me, but on the menu it now says our most popular dish.
Because of you.
Possibly. Who knows? Yeah.
All right. Y'all need therapy.
You know, I see other people that order different things, and sometimes they like it, and sometimes they're like, oh, you know what? That's not my favorite. I don't ever feel like taking that risk. It's pretty much the only food that I crave.
It's a risk, though. That's risky.
It is. I think you're doing the right thing, Scott. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
If you guys love Kevin like we love Kevin, trust me, you're going to want to stick around for about 10 minutes from right now as we try to decipher Kevin's tweets and texts from over the weekend at Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Some of them I can defend. Some of them no one can defend.
Has he ever been better, Ralph? I think this may be his finest work ever.
Some of them no one can decipher. What do you mean defend?
Anyway, that's coming up.
Written
right
code. The
Maybe
Nazis
that's what it
used
is.
That during World War II, trying to send out information to U-boats. Just Maybe a series of numbers and consonants that mean nothing to anyone.
It is funny that we have to hire an Indian code talker to decipher what Kevin's trying to tell us.
Madness.
Anyway, that's coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Since it is Monday, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Two Guns, in its debut, made $27.4 million. That was number one at the box office, followed by The Wolverine with $21.7 million. Then The Smurfs 2, in its debut, $18.2 million, made it number three. The Conjuring and Despicable Me 2 were the top 5 money-making films of the week. And then Grown Ups 2, Turbo, Red 2, The Heat, and Pacific Rim, all rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Sharknado was in theaters on Friday night for a special midnight screening. 200 Regal theaters carried the movie, and the movie took in less than $200,000, meaning less than $1,000 average on each screen. So I think by now, everyone who wants to see Sharknado in the three airings on Sci-Fi has probably seen it.
And we're good. It made what it's worth.
We're good. Good with the Sharknado. This is creeping some people out. Do you want a sexy tooth fairy? Well, an executive with the toy company Hasbro and his toy expert wife have come up with a new line of dolls for girls called Real Tooth Fairies, complete with big hair and heavy makeup and Miss USA-style gowns. Some parents are complaining that sexualizing the tooth fairy is a step too far for their children, and they're uncomfortable with that.
Oh, my God. Really?
Some critics have said that the tooth fairy dolls, instead of looking like something that would leave money under your pillow for your tooth, looks like something that would collect money off of your dresser after you're done with her.
Yes.
So I guess they're going to do away with that little tyke 50 Shades of Grey bondage kit, too, they have planned. The Anthony Weiner show me yours, I'll show you mine board game. Speaking of that woman who Carlos Danger was sexting with, who came forward, the 23-year-old Sydney Leathers.
Right.
TMZ.com this morning has the story of her. Shots from her on the set of her new adult solo performance for Vivid Films. She is doing a masturbation video for that company. And it didn't take her long to cash in on the momentary fame she got from being involved with Anthony Weiner. Vivid put her right to work, and apparently that video will be available soon, so we can all see what she was doing when Carlos Danger was on the other end of the phone.
So this is the woman who was offended by the way she was treated by the married man she was having an online affair with. Now she's gone and she's made a porn video to cash in on it. Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Got a problem with that?
Okay, understood.
If you've seen her, I've got a problem with that. And some people have too much money. Maybe Beyonce is one of them. Interesting story today about her preference for false eyelashes. Lisa, do you ever use a false eyelashes?
I do when we have events sometimes, yeah.
What do yours run you? Do you know?
$10.
$10, yeah. Beyonce uses only mink false eyelashes.
Is that a joke?
Nope.
Really?
Eyelashes are made from mink fur.
Because that's the most, like, real people's lashes?
I have no idea. I know nothing about lashes or minks, for that matter.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Apparently, it is. They run about $100.
Oh, my God.
Slap some mink lashes on your eyes.
Oh, f*** you.
The brand name is Velour. But the lashes certainly are made out of velour, which is a fabric. They use mink lashes. However, they claim their mink lashes are ethically made.
I was going to ask.
Which means they don't hold down a poor mink and shave it.
They just brush it.
They wait for the mink to shed some hair, and then they collect that up, and then they sort it and make eyelashes for Beyonce out of it. I just seem to sit there just waiting for the mink to molt. I saw another one. It just drops off in the cage, and they rush it to the lab.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it's a tortuous process.
Oh,
but
money can't buy happiness. It is happiness.
Beyonce swears by him. So if you want to be like her, wear mink eyelashes.
And I do. I really, really do.
Now PETA's going to throw red paint in her eyes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Maureen McCormick's 57 years old today. Pat Smear from Foo Fighters turns 54. Patrick Ewing, former NBA star, turns 51. And actor Jonathan Silverman is 47 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, what are you doing?
What are you talking about?
You need to be evaluated.
Just doing a radio show?
No, you need a team of neurologists to evaluate you because something's horribly wrong with you.
Dave and Kevin were in Chicago over the weekend for this year's Lollapalooza, like they do. And every time Kevin is on the road, I can't figure out what's happening. His texts and his tweets are so much worse than they are when he's home. Is it just that you're drinking that much more? What's the problem here?
Alcohol could not possibly be an excuse for this.
It has to be a stroke.
It is. Alcohol is the only excuse for that.
No, there's no drunk who could ever do this.
What are you talking about?
Let me read to you one text exchange.
Go ahead, lie. Go ahead.
Between, not a lie. This is documented. We've got it. We've got the hard copy. This is to Dave, the King of Mexico, from Kevin. We are over? Question mark. W-H-E, the letter R, over? Question mark.
Were you breaking up?
We are over? King of Mexico, at Steve Aoki right now, period. That is a sentence with words and everything.
Now, let me interrupt here. What were you trying to ask him? Because Dave interpreted it as, where are you, right?
That's exactly what I was trying. Thank you. Thank you for understanding.
We are nice over means where are you?
We are over? Question mark. That means where are you?
It was supposed to mean where are you. I'm not saying that I said it correctly. I'm not defending it that way. I'm just saying I believe that's what I meant when I texted him.
We are over at Steve Aoki right now.
Right. So he speaks, right. Kevin.
Okay. So this is Kevin's response.
So far, so good.
Since he understood it. This is Kevin's response. NTTREESIOS WREETNNTMTMTNNRTNNTNKTTKBTRRGKTYYYNNMRYKYYUGGJTTTTNJSZZZADAZESSETTSRZ.
That's code for we had a plan that after 9-inch nails, we were going to go see. That's not code for anything.
What
nonsense.
Happened?
Dave asked me if it was butt tweeting, but I keep my phone in my front pocket so I must have seen a hot chicken. My wiener was going crazy. I have no idea. Like, I looked at that later, and it's a whole paragraph of just letters.
Just consonants, basically, yes.
Did you hit send on that?
Well,
yeah, you would have had to. You had to type something and then send it.
And then looked at it and went, yes.
No. You're assuming I looked at it. No, I looked at it later and I was like, no, what?
No, but how did it
hell?
Get sent?
Yeah, your penis didn't send it.
Your penis didn't move around and then later find another button on your phone and send it.
You guys don't know my penis.
You had a stroke.
All right, listen, I'll take that.
That does scream heavy birtation, I have to be honest. I can't think of it, because it's not even like the first one, the we are over. At least you were trying to make words and there's a question mark at the end, so at least we knew what the sentence structure was. This one is just like 60 letters in a row,
yeah,
like with no spacing, so I can't even begin to guess what this might be.
I don't know either, and I do have my phone locked so that when I shut off the screen, it's locked. So there's no way that could have happened and been sent without me hitting send.
This right. one to DJ Nicole Alvarez works here in Kevin on the.
Oh, my
K-Rock.
Friend's turning me in. Thanks, everyone.
From Kevin to Nicole. Question mark, question mark, question mark. That was the beginning of the conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Kevin texted her again. Well, be by Burr.
What?
Well, B-E, by B-Y, Burr, B-R.
What the hell?
No response. Kevin, text it again. Bat. Period. Bat.
Now, what does bat mean, Kevin? What's that supposed to be?
I really don't know.
Bat, period. No response. MERRMTNMJFFFTTN.
Come on, I don't even remember that one. I didn't even see that one later.
Do not give up.
No, well, no response.
What does a guy have to do to get a response?
Makes sense.
No response. Kevin, text it again. Bar grind where we were, period. Oh.
Bar grind where we were.
Period. Oh.
Well, a very, very heavy burtation tonight.
No response.
Why is she not responding?
Kevin texted again. Capital F X D Z W A V N B S F capital X Z N R Z
F capital G capital J Z V V C X Z C Y C X L D C X G C G V Z H V G Z Z S N V V G V G V S J G N.
Is that the same one that I wrote, Dave?
Y no.
Oh.
N H N J C Y J.
Yeah. Was this the same night?
This is a completely different text to a different person.
No.
But is this the same night? Or we don't know.
I know that all I can say
more,
is I don't remember that
more
one.
More Aleutian fisherman code.
Dave, was that. That was a different
night? That was a Saturday night.
That was Saturday night.
Oh, my God.
But here's what I don't get, Kevin. When you're talking about how your phone works and how you think you're penis texting, how do you get capital letters unless you're
that's what I'm saying is I honestly don't understand that because having my phone locked would keep that from happening. And it is locked, so that keeps that from happening. So I must have been typing. That one I don't remember at all. The other one to Dave I remember because I looked at it later and laughed and thought, what was going on there? But the one to Nicole, I don't remember at all.
There's another.
We've had enough. No, I think we understand.
I have to get through all of these. I don't care how late it runs. I have to get through all of these because it's amazing.
I had a few drinks.
Here's a conversation with Nicole. Why are I? Question mark. W-H-Y-A-R-Y-R-I.
He actually speaks well English.
I know that means where are you.
And Kevin came back and texted just the capital letter U. And then Nicole responded with, why are you? Question mark. More importantly.
Bat.
Here's another one with Dave.
All right, that's enough. We got it.
Nope, I don't
got it. King of Mexico tweets, raise you hands. I can't find you guys.
Here's, oh, yeah, this one I know.
Here's Kevin. We're Eve W. Ladbat.
Well, if you're Eve W. Ladbat, that should be easy to find. How many of those could there be?
That's Kevin's nom de plume, isn't it? Does he write a series of books at Eve W. Ladbat?
Here's all I know. That particular one, I can explain what was happening, when it happened, why I texted that way. I don't know.
We're Eve W. Ladbat.
We're where you left us.
What?
That's what that was supposed to be.
No.
Really? Here's what happened. I was with Dave's girlfriend. We were standing there. We were watching a show. Dave said, I'm going to go to the bar. Wait right here. I said, fine. We'll wait right here. So then he starts texting us, I can't find you. I can't find you. And I tried to write back, where were you left us?
We're Eve W. Ladbat.
Right. So then Dave, in all his glory, I think I'm going to set up the next one that you have. He texts me, you guys put your hands up. Now, you have to understand, we're at a DJ, and the entire crowd has their hands up.
All right, well, let me get through this, because we're Eve W. Ladbat. Then Kevin writes, Dave's girlfriend's name is Krista. Krista is on shoulder? Question mark. Then Kevin sends another text to Dave. Let's mitt by Matt. Let's M-T-T by Matt, M-A-T.
That means let's meet by the bar.
It does?
Come on. Yeah.
Then
Dave asked him to put his hands up, and Kevin responded, you on us up our page hands? I am a crowd of prole with their hands up.
So at least that string of 60, consonants didn't make sense, but at least that he wants me to put our hands up, and the whole crowd
right.
has their hands
what
up.
What are your page hands? Why you want us up our page hands?
I had a crowd
proly with hands up.
I need in a crowd full of people with their hands up. It makes perfect sense if you speak drunk. No? Anyone?
Oh, man.
Bat.
Well said, Kevin.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
That is Lord, by the way. She is going to be with us in studio on Thursday morning in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get a chance to interview her, and she will be performing live. She'll be in town for the Echoplex show. So if you have been captivated by that little EP she's got out, you definitely want to check that out. Ralph is here now. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ralph. Excuse me. Monday morning.
XPKNMGGG.
We covered that.
SVSVRQNTP2. Bat.
Asked and answered.
Great listener email and said, that's what my 8-year-old does. When he doesn't want to be bothered, he pretends to be texting someone and just punches in a bunch of random letters.
Oh. Or when he's trying to look busy.
Yeah, when he doesn't want to engage in conversation, he just looks down his phone and just starts typing anything randomly just so people won't have a conversation with him. Maybe that's what Kevin was doing when he was drunk. He didn't want to talk to anybody or couldn't talk to anybody.
Eric tweeted, seriously, how does someone type that many letters without accidentally getting a word in?
If you were playing Boggle, at least you'd come up with something in there that would be worth a few points. It's all good stuff. It is Monday, as Bean eventually told us. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Two Guns came in at number one this weekend, $27.4 million. In its
now,
debut.
I don't know much about this movie, but it has Denzel Washington in it, right? And that's why it shot to number one. Because Denzel Washington is always worth going to see in the theater, right?
Ralph, I'm sorry, but that impression is the King of Mexico's alone, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that he was still with us.
Hey, my man.
There you go.
There you go.
So much better. Why am I the only one clapping?
Because you're the only one who thought it was good.
No, I think it's bad. That's why I like to hear it.
Wolverine was second at the box office, $21.7 million. The Smurfs 2, $18.2 million. My Hollywood Babylon partner Kevin Smith has a disturbing theory behind Smurfs 2.
Uh-oh.
You know on the posters they've got some blue Smurfs, and next to them are like some sort of pink Smurfs? Yes. His theory is in Smurfs 2, some human has sex with a little Smurf, and they make Smurf babies, and the Smurf babies come out pink.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. It's a mixing of the races, if you will. If that was Smurfs 2, it probably would have done better at the box office than $18.2 million, which made it number three. The Conjuring was fourth. Despicable Me 2 was fifth. Grown Ups 2, Turbo, Red 2, The Heat, and Pacific Rim round out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Justin Bieber's in trouble again. Surprise, surprise. This time, Bieber and his entourage are under investigation for a brutal fight that left a nightclub patron sprawled out in the parking lot of a nightclub, and he was injured badly enough that he had to be taken to the hospital.
Wow.
The nightclub in question is South Point in Southampton, New York. This happened on Sunday morning around 3 a.m. Bieber had arrived an hour earlier, and he was inside the club, and according to TMZ, the booze was flowing in the VIP area. Well, sure, because he's 19. That's legal.
Of course.
To drink, right? A girl in the club apparently tried to speak to Justin, but was turned away by his entourage. She came back with a guy who apparently did not appreciate how they treated his female friend and made that clear. According to witnesses at that point, Justin Bieber went nuts, screaming at the dude, and then pulling off his shirt.
Of course he did.
I am surprised he didn't spit at him.
Me too.
Justin and his crew left the club, but apparently in the parking lot, things got flared up again. Justin, who was in his SUV, again, according to TMZ, jumped through the sunroof of the SUV onto the hood.
I'll kill you, bro! Let me at that paparazzi!
At that point, it's unclear what happened, but the victim was knocked out on the cement.
Not by Justin.
Not by Justin.
Tell you that.
No, please.
According to the cops, Justin's people apparently went after the guy. And paramedics had to be called to the scene because he was unconscious on the cement. Oh. An investigation is underway after the alleged victim filed a police department. Justin is not the target of the investigation, say police sources. It's his crew, is the entourage who was surrounding him that need to be talked to. Sure, why would Justin need to be talked to?
Right, sure.
I guess when he took off his shirt, everyone went, he's no threat. Don't bother that little girl. Let's talk to the men who beat up that guy.
Couldn't just one night Justin just go back to the hotel and get room service and watch HBO like the rest of us?
Or just one night, couldn't Justin Bieber get his ass kicked by somebody, just pummeled
surrounded
to the ground
by those huge security guards around?
Well, how sweet would that be if you saw that video on TMZ.com one morning? That scrawny little bitch just being just pummeled by somebody who had an ass full of his attitude. Oh, man. There we go. Here's some audio from one of my dreams. Yeah. Well, it was a short fight.
It was a short fight.
Dream.
He's not a very good fighter.
Bieber, you going to hurry, Muggs?
Bieber got knocked down early. I guess Muggs doesn't see the comedy in letting that go on and on the way the rest of us do. But what do we know? Kanye West wants to buy Graceland.
All right.
I'm not sure Graceland's for sale.
I'm talking about Graceland.
And change Graceland. It to Kanye Land?
Graceland, Tennessee.
Love it.
Apparently, Kanye has been told that the former home of Elvis Presley is about to be put up for sale, Bean.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Seems like a moneymaker.
Somebody's just tired of making all that money?
Well, the thing is, it is a museum still, an homage to the king of rock and roll. He's still buried in the background, or backyard, rather. But according to the story, Lisa Marie Presley has sold everything having to do with her father, except for Graceland, the house she was born in. And now there's talks about selling it to another corporation or something that would take it over and keep the museum running. However, Kanye thinks it would be a perfect gift for his girlfriend Kim Kardashian and wants to live there.
Yeah, he would make it Kanye Land. No
That's
question.
What he would do. Of course, the small problem is that the house is still a museum.
Would he dig up Elvis? What would he do? Where
people come to see him. And Elvis is still buried in the backyard, at least, yes. So he'd have to dig him up at some point and animate his bones and make him play piano for him.
What?
Like Kevin did Liberace.
What about Kanye, Kim Kardashian, does Kanye...
Yes. All right. All right now. Coming over to my side.
KPTTMGRJ.
Yes.
Let me try that again. What about Kim Kardashian makes Kanye West think she wants to live in Tennessee?
I have no idea.
Does it make any sense at all?
Well, it would just be a part-time home. It would just be someplace they would stay when they were...
Oh, a nice low-profile crash pad.
Just a weekend getaway.
When they would spend time in Memphis, then they can just hang out there.
Weird.
I think it's perfect. And there's probably gold toilets in there already.
Sure.
It's true.
And hopefully Kanye would strain on one and end up like the king himself.
And he could shoot guns at the walls if he wanted to. Right. That would be in keeping with the prior resident.
Shoot TV sets with paparazzi's pictures on them, telling them not to talk. And while we're talking about stars and their homes, someone broke into Kid Rock's house. Kid Rock's by all accounts, a pretty good guy, but you don't want to piss him off. Police say they arrested the culprit, and here's how they found him. Kid was not home at the time of the break-in to his Detroit home, but when he found out it happened, he posted the following on his blog. I am an avid hunter and marksman, and I will not hesitate to shoot anyone who has... myself or my family in fear for our lives. Then, Kid offered a $5,000 reward for anyone who could identify the culprit.
Wow.
He posted security camera photos of the guy. Apparently, he was a bald white man on crutches driving a white panel van.
God.
Really? You're going to shoot a guy on crutches?
I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Must have been the slowest break-in ever.
He took, like, a vase. The sheriff's department got a bunch of tips. Two of them happened to be spot on. The guy was arrested on Saturday, and the burglar on crutches is currently awaiting charges. So it worked. Kid Rock put out the bounty, and someone turned him in.
That must have been a moment of party.
It was not a moment of party. Kid Rock then shot him. Today, celebrity birthdays. Jonathan Silverman's 47 years old today. Patrick Ewing, former NBA star. He is 51. Guitarist Pat Smear, one of the good guys in the music industry. He, of course, with Foo Fighters, 54 years old today. And actress Maureen McCormick celebrates her 57th birthday. She is Marcia from the Brady Bunch.
Wow.
That's old for Marcia from the Brady Bunch. She's as old as Alice was now, I think, when she was living with the family.
I think you're right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We are going to talk to Petros Papadakis about
yeah, yeah!
Real
the finale. The finale.
Is this it?
This is it.
We got 2 hours of the second half of the finale, and then, of course, an hour of After the Final Rose.
Oh, my God.
Which you're going to watch 3 hours of that
which
tonight?
Where we wrap it all up, and we talk to Des, and we go through her journey and see who was there for the right reasons.
But I want you to admit now, ahead of seeing tonight's finale, that it's BS if she picks one of the other guys when she's already told us that she loved the guy that left last week.
Look, love's strange, Bean. Love is strange.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. Comedian Ben Glebe will be in the studio. We also
KPTRN-CBZ.
We also have Nick Newell, and you may not have heard of this guy, but he's a mixed martial arts fighter with one arm.
Oh, I've seen that guy.
And he wins fights.
Yeah, he's awesome.
With one arm.
Beer mug. Beer mug versus Nick Newell.
I could take him.
Oh,
I like it.
It's on. It is on.
No, I'm saying he beats fighters, Muggs.
Oh, yeah. Never. I mean, Lisa could take him.
Right. Because of her mauve belt. So anyway, that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.